This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
We are live from New Jersey looking at Jenny's ice cream. We're hanging out. We're... No? Okay.
You gonna lead with that?
Yeah, I'm gonna lead with that. Yeah, I'm mad. Why didn't we get an invite to go look at the Jersey? The New Jersey. Why is Jenny's ice cream getting to look at the New Jersey before us? What's going on with that?
You got that sweet locker room tour last year. I'm still pissed off about that.
Yeah, I did. Was that only a year ago? I think that was
2 years ago.
A year ago? I don't know. It was a while. Yeah, it's happened. It's a thing. Yeah, it might have been in the Porter era. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Was it?
Might have been. I think it may have been.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the Wolf era, one for one, baby.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah. So we got lots of crew stuff to talk about. The start of the season is right around the corner. There is some talk about a New Jersey. We now have a date as to when New Jersey will be here. So we'll get into that. You probably, I don't know, maybe don't, like, build your entire economy around a 36-year-old soccer star. Maybe. I don't know. We could talk about that a little
bit.
Who
could have ever seen this coming?
Right. Get into some Messi and Asia drama.
We need to find the person who did this. Yeah. The Eric Andre gun pointing meme.
Yes. Oh, you could go that way, or you could go the Tim, what's his name?
Tim Robinson.
Tim Robinson. The
we have to find the guy who did this.
Whoever did this, just tell us. Just close your, we're all close our eyes.
Rob's wearing a hot dog colored suit.
No, I'm not. Oh. We're talking about the sin bin, because apparently that's a thing we got to do now. And I actually didn't know the history of the yellow card, red card. Did you know this history?
No.
We'll talk about that a little bit, because I did a little digging to understand where we're at with the colors of cards that we get in soccer.
Hey, before we do anything else today, new day, new us, new soccer podcast day, Wednesday.
Oh, yes, that's right. So we should announce that. We're going to start recording on Wednesdays, which will change a few things. One, it's going to severely hamper our Champions League coverage because there's so many midweek games.
It's a league that nobody cares about. Who cares?
Champions League. Yeah, who cares? Just Champions League. Just the biggest clubs in the world playing some of the most important games of the year every year. But
as long as City keep racking up titles, I'm fine without talking about it.
Yeah. So you may hear us reference some things in Champions League, and then you'll be like, well, that already happened. And it's like, well, I'm sorry. We have to record on Wednesdays now. A little schedule change in the personal lives, so that means we have to start recording a little earlier. Also, sorry we didn't record last week. I was dumb and did not properly schedule myself, so that's my bad. Not Beam's bad.
It happens.
Beam did everything right. I did everything wrong. It's usually how it goes.
Definitely not how it goes.
No, that's how it goes.
Nope.
That is how it goes. So then...
Usually, we both do everything wrong, if we're being honest.
That's true. Buddy, that's everybody in radio.
True.
Everybody's doing everything wrong, and yet somehow we're still getting paid to talk about sports.
You guys get paid to work here?
I guess so. I think. Last I checked, my wife handles all the finances. I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. Well, she's a math major in your house, so
right.
You got that.
Yes.
I mean, she knows what's going on. So, yeah, we'll get into all that. But, yes, so now going forward, podcasts will be here earlier in the week, but you will also not have as much of the, like, midweek stuff just because probably going to avoid talking about some of it because why would we tell you, like, hey, today's this game, and then 2 hours later, games happen.
Bayern Munich today.
Podcast hasn't posted, and then it's like, well, now what? Now I already know the results, so we're not going to spend a ton of time previewing games that are already happening.
PSG and Sociedad coming up later today.
You got a wager. You got a wager on all that, don't you?
I do. I got in yesterday, and as soon as Copenhagen tied up the game with City, I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. Like, I'm like, all right, let's...
Copenhagen.
Yes.
I mean, how dare you?
Copenhagen.
Copenhagen. How dare you?
So I got in as soon as that happened. I'm like, boy, I like City to win this game. So
makes sense.
A few shekels on that. Paired that with a Real Madrid winner, which they won yesterday. And now I'm banking everything on a Bayern win today and a PSG. So I've got a nice little 14 parlay. And I said to you, I'm like, if there's one thing that will be true is PSG will screw me, as they do themselves every season in the Champions League.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
Yep.
That's exactly where you're at. Good to put all your wagers and hopes and dreams on that team because they never fail.
Correct.
I will tell you where I am with sports gambling right now is I figured out this really fun niche that I'm in where it's like I will have parlay after parlay after parlay that will not hit. I will get down to almost my last amount of units in the account. And then one of my parlays will hit and not only get back the money I lost, but make me like a decent amount of money after. So then what I do is say, ah, smart thinking. I'm going to take most of that money out so I can't be tempted to wager it. I will take my winnings yes. out, and then I'll leave myself a little bit, you know, a few dollars, 10, 20 bucks in the account, and then I'll wager that. And then that will get whittled down to like where I have $5 to $1 left in there, because I'll make these little piddly bets. They won't hit. And then I'll go like, ah, all right. And I'll put my money back in that I took out. And then it's the cycle repeats itself. So it's like, I tell myself like, hey, I'm doing it. And then I lose almost all of that and then win it back. At some point, I inevitably win most of it back and then take it out again. And this cycle repeats itself. I've done this like 5 times now.
And I'm actually down $9,000 in the year. 2024.
It's the Drill Candles tweet, except it's all ESPN bet.
Is he still tweeting?
Yeah, he still tweets.
Is he?
What? Yeah, I think they even someone like got to talk to the guy who sends those tweets out.
He's great.
Yeah. But please, my family is dying. It's like maybe stop buying candles. No. All right. So
stupid.
Yeah, it is. By the way, shouts, and this is, we get paid nothing for saying this. Shout out to the Supporter Supply people.
Yep.
Morgan, Kevin, Shrek, they all do a great job with that company and their stuff. They have a new jersey out for the crew, not the new jersey that Jenny went to, but they have a different jersey out. And I got to tell you, it's something that I don't know. We'll see what the new actual crew jersey looks like coming up on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a leak happens before now and then. Elliot Stanek, please. I'm not naming anybody, but I know you work at the team shop. Please? No? Okay. Anyway, what I know is, I've not seen anything about that jersey other than there's a rumor about it having a center crest.
Yeah. Fine. Where are you at on the center crest?
I like a center crest. I'm not against it.
I'm okay with it.
I'm not against it.
Yeah. It's not like a make or
break. One of my favorite jerseys of all time from the crew is the white three stripes from like the McBride era back in the 90s. And I have one of these jerseys and the crest is right in the middle.
Yeah.
But it's like three yellow stripes on a white jersey. A little different look than the crew typically have gone with over their history, but I like that there. They had a few jerseys that had it in the center. It's not the end of the world for me, if that's what it is. But, yeah, I like the Supporter Supply jersey because it's like half yellow, half black. Like, it's a straight line down the middle. Very cool. I like that. I like different – I like things that look like other soccer jerseys around the world that aren't just the same basic Adidas template. So,
I like their sweatshirt with the script Columbus and then the three black stars.
That is hot.
Maybe they were listening to the pod when they had the black on black star idea.
That's good. I like that. Also, they have it on, I'm just telling you this, I don't know if it's illegal, I don't know, on their hats part of their website, they have Columbus Zogs hats, which was an old soccer team from back in the day.
Okay.
They have chill hats, I think. I know they have Columbus Quest and Columbus Horizon hats, which, again, if you're like an old school Columbus sports fan like me, I went to Columbus Horizon games.
Even know what these things are.
Columbus Horizon was a minor league men's basketball team that played. It might have been the CBA. I have no idea what it was in. I don't even know. Maybe the CBA? I forget. I have to go look it up. But like Chris Gent, who used to play for the Buckeyes, played there. Jay Burson, I think, played on that team for a hot second. Like they were fun. They played at the convention center, and it was like pro basketball in Columbus for a couple years. They're gone, but the logo remains, and I have ordered a hat from that. I also have a Columbus Quest hat coming because that was the Katie Smith ABL team that only was in existence for 2.5 seasons. They won both championships of the ABL, and then when the league folded and merged with the WNBA, all those players just went to the WNBA. The Quest were leading the league that year. So it's like that. The undefeated, reigning, undisputed champions of women's basketball that we ever had in Columbus, that was our team. So bring back the Quest. But meanwhile, I'm just saying, they got some cool stuff going on over there with the hats. So don't sleep on the hats.
They do, and they have a United selection,
I
too.
Saw that. Yeah, they're kind of, you know, just kind of sliding that
That's
in there.
That's why
like,
I said United.
It's United.
Yeah, you put together what United I could be talking about and what they may put on their shirt.
Sure, of course. Anyway, we get nothing for telling you that. They're not sponsoring us or anything. I just want to point out good local businesses that are doing things. Yeah. Supporter Supply does good stuff. I've bought plenty of things from there. The quality is always good. Shout out to them. All right. I also point out that the jersey that they're selling is like 3 times cheaper than what the new MLS jersey is going to be for the Columbus Crew. Dude, have you seen some of the authentic jersey prices?
It's $199.
What? Dude, these things, are they laced with gold? Did I miss something? Is this something that you can do to protect your family in case of a, you know, global nuclear fallout where you can, like, trade this in for food and gas? I don't... What is in these new MLS jerseys that are that is somehow... They're more expensive than... You could go buy an authentic Real Madrid for probably less. You could buy an authentic United or City or any of these big teams around the globe. How? Why? Why does MLS think that's the play? Wouldn't you want it to be the opposite? Wouldn't you want to take a loss on the jerseys so that every person who wears one is advertising your corporate partners and, might I add, your team?
Bone. We are not business majors. How dare you insult the business metric community and coming up with a good idea? You can get right now a Real Madrid authentic jersey, like with the patches, however you want to doctor it up, Champions League.
Can you get a name on the back of it?
Fully authentic Champions League pack, name on it, whatever you want to. And that runs you $185.
And this is...
Those are the king of kings.
Right. And I'm not blaming necessarily anyone with the Crew because I don't think it's their call. And I don't even know if these are going to be priced. To be fair, maybe they'll come out and they'll be like, hey, they're $85. I doubt that. But I'm just saying, for the authentic jersey experience, how in the world is MLS? We've seen other teams put their jerseys out and they're close to $200.
Right.
And I mean, again, if you're Real Madrid, that's still obscene, right? It's still $185, $189, whatever you said for that is ridiculous. It's Real Madrid. It's Champions League.
If there's one team in the world that can do that, it's them.
Well, I mean, yeah, but them, Barcelona, Manchester United, Manchester City, Liverpool, Arsenal. I'm not trying to just single one team out here. Yeah. Bayern Munich, all those teams, I get, they're very popular. Their jerseys are ridiculous, and they are some of the biggest clubs in the world. They can get away with charging whatever they want and probably still make tons of money off it. If you're Major League Soccer, I would think you would look at it as, I want everyone to have our jerseys on because I want people to see our jerseys in regular life walking around and going, oh, look, I'm in Vancouver. There's a Whitecaps jersey.
There's an Alfonso Davies jersey.
Right. Well, back in the day. Sure. Maybe you get a retro. I'm just saying, I don't know why they want to charge so much for these jerseys. So whatever. Do what you want. Get what you want. I'm just telling you.
What do we know?
What do we know?
All I know is that no matter what happens on Friday, I will not be outraged at the jersey.
Oh, no. I'm not going to be outraged at it, and I'm not going to probably buy it either. I'm just going to say that's cool. That's nice. I mean,
unless it blows my socks off.
I mean, I trust me, I want to from the 3 stars perspective. Yeah. I want to from all that, you know, maybe. But again, I'm not buying that's the problem. To get the one with the stars on it, I think you have to buy the authentic. I think. That's been the way in the past. Maybe that won't be the way now. But again, why do you want to gouge your fans like that? Like, not the Crew, Major League Soccer. It's single entity. Put this on Don Garber, baby. Right. That's not on, I'm not blaming the local Crew people for that necessarily, although they have probably some input. I guess if they screamed at Don Garber and said, we refuse to sell your jerseys unless they're under $150 or under $130, some price tag, then maybe that would work.
Yeah, $114.99, I feel like, is a perfectly high price point.
I mean, you're talking $100 for a shirt.
Yeah.
You know? And like, we're sitting here saying, I could see paying $120 for a shirt, $130 for a shirt. That's still ridiculous.
It's a shirt.
It's ridiculous. But $200 is where they've set the price point now.
Insane.
Or at least some of these MLS teams have. I don't know, man. Like, between that and, like, the other like, rip your eyes out, like, expensive thing is when you look at an authentic match ball.
Oh yeah.
If you wanted to get
like
the actual
Adidas
the one
match
they use,
ball,
the actual one that the players play with, if you want to buy one of those, they'll charge you like about the same price. I think it's like $250 or
There's
something.
The good
like
news for us though is we can steal some that are in our podcast studio.
We have some right here. We have the Adidas Nativo.
Yep.
We have that one.
We've got the MLS Cup final ball. It's got some sort of Canadian flag on it. Maybe that's like a US Open Cup.
No, that's definitely
the 21 season.
Yeah. I don't know what
Matchball replicas. I don't know what these are, but they're pretty nice.
We do have some, but again, I don't even know if they're. This one feels like this
that
could be
one,
a matchball.
I think there's
the Nativo is definitely a matchball.
There's two matchballs.
Yeah, because like they have the different. They have the different pattern with the
and
pads.
It feels.
Yeah, it feels different. A little different. Yeah, it's not like the regular cheapo one you can get at Dick's.
That one's got some nice grip to it.
You know, we should take a picture of these and post them because I don't know if people know this. We sit. Someone here, when they designed our studios at the new fan studios, they just bought a bunch of balls and
ball
put them
buyers.
In the studio. And I don't like, I don't know how they bought all these different ones at the same time because they're different years. But they, I mean, they
maybe the crew supplied it to us.
Oh, maybe. Maybe the crew just sent it over. Now, this one does say match ball replica.
This so does
maybe,
too. This is, and this is a training ball. This is match ball replica training.
Oh, these are, oh, wow. They're not even the game balls. Nope. Wow. Sucks to be cheap.
Yeah, we're cheap.
This
asses.
Place, look at this place.
Piece
anyway,
of junk.
Yeah. Anyway, they're flat too. So we need to get a pump in here.
We play a little keep ups.
Keepy uppies.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
that
from
concludes our ball talking
I watch,
portion of the program.
I watch a lot of Bluey. Keepy uppie is quite the game.
I haven't got onto the Bluey yet.
Oh, just wait. Young William will love Bluey, I feel like.
Your youngest is probably too old for Miss Rachel. Have you heard of Miss Rachel?
What is she? Is she?
She's a YouTube gal.
Yes, I think I've heard of her.
Meredith goes to ski club on Thursdays.
Yeah.
For the next couple of weeks, at least. And last week, I was feeling like crap.
Mm-hmm.
Like feverish and sore throat and everything. So when you decided to be dumb and we couldn't have a podcast, I was actually pretty thankful for it.
Yeah, sure.
That may not have been good for me. So I don't rarely rely on witchcraft.
Oh, okay.
There was on last Thursday when I was feeling bad and was running a fever and I'm watching William the entire day. There was an hour where I relied on the witchcraft of Miss Rachel.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Where I was just like, I got to turn this on. I just laid next to like the little playpen that he's
oh,
in.
Oh, you feel like turning on the TV is somehow. Yeah.
No, not turning on the TV. Turning on that specific
what is,
show.
What is Miss Rachel? Is
she sings. She talks about animals,
I gotta
numbers.
Find out. I have nothing. I have no reference.
No, that's
Rachel.
All. That's all she really does. And
is she nice? Or
no,
do we
she's
not,
great.
Okay.
No, she's nice. I'm saying it's witchcraft. It's voodoo. Because my child sat there for an hour, didn't move or blink.
Oh.
Where
you know what?
I mean, it was witchcraft.
You know what? I have seen Miss Rachel because I have seen a few dads posting videos that are like, am I attracted to Miss Rachel? And I forgot about that. But like, yeah, there's a thing here, TikTok.
Oh,
Miss Rachel is a baddie.
There
is
you
what
go.
It says. And you know what? Yeah, she's doing all right. She's of course, as I Google Miss Rachel, the first thing that pops up is her age, because this is how we treat women in our country. We just immediately like have to tell you how old they are. November 30th, 1982. She's 41 years old, same age as me. Let her live. Great. She's doing awesome. You know what? I'm going to watch Miss Rachel.
You shouldn't. She's a witch.
She does seem vexing. I'll give you that.
Yeah, she is a voodoo
She's
doctor.
She's casting a spell on you.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the more crazy things that I've ever seen.
All right.
So we're not to the Bluey stage yet. Our nephews, they're 4 and 2. They're like prime Bluey.
Oh, just wait, my man. When you start watching Bluey.
They're like 6 minutes apiece.
Yeah, but when you start watching them and you're like, this is a 7-minute cartoon and it's making me like
cry.
Feel real feelings and think about like real things. And it's, there's one episode I will tell you where Bluey meets a kid who she doesn't speak the same language. I believe the kid speaks French and they're on holiday and they're camping. There is a moment in that episode at the very end where you will hear the little boy come back and say, hello, Bluey, like that. And you like tears. You will know the moment when you're watching Bluey. I don't want to spoil, but there's a moment. There's a lot of moments in Bluey. It's good. A highly underrated show for like adults.
Meredith and I aren't like two emotional people. And like we've talked about that before. Like,
right.
I'm not much of like an empath.
Yeah.
I'm not much of an empath.
You're not an empath. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And like we don't really get that emotional about things, but. You know, as where she's winding down, like feeding him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, we're making the transition over to like dairy milk and actual food now. Like he's eating just fine. And I had the realization because his first birthday is coming up here in like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's been her Meredith's goal is like, okay, get him off. Like we're going to start to wean him off and then just get him to regular milk. And I was thinking about that the other day and I'm like, boy, I'm going to put down the bottle for like the last time. Like that's going to happen in a couple of weeks. And yeah. I got a little emotional about that. And then I thought to myself immediately after like 15 seconds of being trapped in this emotion that I won't have to wash any more bottles or bottle parts, and then got super excited.
Yeah. Right. This is what you just experienced is the thing that most people experience when they're like, should we have another child? Cause it's usually around those moments where milestones start tipping off where you're like, this is the last time that he won't be just crawling around. Oh, now he's walking.
Yeah.
He'll never crawl again. It's like, we need another one. And then suddenly you've got 18 and counting, you know, or whatever that show was, 19 and yeah. I don't know what it was. Anyway. Yeah. So that's
one's fine for now.
one's a good
he's
number.
He's enough.
One's a great number. All right. So we will talk more crew next week. We will preview the season when we get a little bit closer, but off season's pretty much done, folks. We're in black and gold week as of Sunday of next week. So make it happen. Wear your black and gold. I'll be doing it. Never bank your hopes on a 36-year-old forward. This thing with Lionel Messi in China has gotten out of hand.
Who could have ever predicted it? Who could have ever seen it happening?
Yes. So this story came out over the weekend that Chinese authorities have canceled two soccer games, not with Inter Miami. That's all done. They went over there to China and Hong Kong and that area, and we'll talk more about that in a second. But they have canceled games with Argentina, which is, of course, who Lionel Messi plays for when he's on his national team duties. But, of course, it was expected that he would be with Argentina for those matches in March. Apparently, 40,000 people, as you may have heard, attended the match in Hong Kong to see Lionel Messi with Inter Miami. But many of them were left feeling a little bit less than happy after he did not play in the game at all. He was on the bench as a sub. Fans booed, jeered, and demanded refunds when he failed to take the field. Further complicating matters is then a few days later, they played a friendly in Japan, which, of course, for those of you who are not geography majors, is not China. It's an entirely different country. And in Japan, he did go into a match and play for like 30 minutes, and that was seen as an affront to China.
Well, let's dive into the geopolitical realm of Japan and China.
Right.
Why, that's a big deal on the global scale.
Right. So it's like, you couldn't play for us, but you go play for Japan, huh?
Right.
Yeah. So everybody was mad about that. The organizers of this game had to, they announced that they would be giving back. Their name is, the match organizer in Hong Kong is Tatler X-Fest.
Okay.
Announced it would refund 50% of the ticket price for fans. A move it said would cost the company $7.1 million and leave it facing nearly $5.5 million in losses.
Ooh.
So where do you stand on this, Beamer? Should Lionel Messi be forced to play because it was advertised that he would be in this game?
I think we've talked about this before, and I think that we've talked about this when it was announced that Lionel Messi was coming to MLS, and I think we talked about this when it was announced that Lionel Messi will be coming to Columbus next year. That if you want to go ahead and pay the exorbitant fee and you want to pay the exorbitant prices and you want to get in and just take, for example, lower.com field, like Death Star, because it's right down the road and we live in Columbus. Like if you want to pay the $500, $600, $400, whatever it is that's going to get you into the door to go see Lionel Messi, that is totally within your realm. And if you have that kind of money and you want to do that, like that's fine. But it is also on the team's benefit and Lionel Messi's benefit for him to get fully healthy for the regular season and to play in games that matter. And I know that they're selling him. He's the golden goose, right? I mean, you sold him, you gave him stakes in like Apple and all kinds of different stuff to bring him over to MLS. And this is what you were going to have to deal with. I mean, the Ronaldo Messi friendly that we were supposed to see between, was it Al Nassr and Inter Miami? Like neither of those guys played.
Yep.
And Al Nassr won 6-0. And I think Messi played like the last 6 minutes of the game. So my whole point on this is like, it's not Messi's fault. Like I know that he is going to bring a lot of criticism upon himself. And I know there will be a lot of criticism on Inter Miami. And I know there will be a lot of criticism for MLS. But when MLS signed him, their best interest is watching out for MLS. And their best interest is watching out for their product. And so I'm sure Don Garber, maybe not thrilled about this news, was okay because he's protecting his stakeholders and protecting his rights with everything that's going on in MLS. You can't bank on a 36-year-old traveling across all these time zones and across the world to be playing in a tour for 80 minutes, like a game. The guy's logged more minutes than anyone, I feel like, over the last year, 2 years, World Cup and all these different cups that he's playing in, let alone regular season games. And you want to be mad that he didn't play in a preseason friendly that means absolutely nothing?
Yeah, right. I mean, to me, I am someone who looks at that whole thing in the NBA, right? Where it's been, we've got to force players. They're not allowed to sit. You can't have players sitting out when we go to these away games. All that stuff, I think, is ludicrous because at the end of the day, the goal of every sports team is to win a championship. Yeah. But when you let the business dictate how you run your team, I'm talking about on the field participation. That's not acceptable. Just like it wouldn't be acceptable if you have a player that's like, this guy sucks, but hey, we're paying him $20 million, so you gotta play him.
Yep.
That sucks. I know people do it. I know teams do it. That's awful. Same thing here. Like, I don't think that the business side should dictate whether or not a guy plays. And I think Inter Miami, fully within their rights to say, no, we are not playing him if he's not right, if he's not healthy. Now, you could argue maybe he told them, I don't want to play in this game. I don't feel right, but please just, or I don't know. I'm not feeling it tonight. Please let them know that I'm dealing with an injury,
and
though.
Guess what? I'm going to guess what happened is that Inter Miami is going to listen to Lionel Messi.
Of course, they're going to do whatever he wants to do there. They're not going to force him out there and say, well, buddy, I don't know if you know this. You signed a giant contract. This is part of the deal. No, they're happy to have him. But also, they have to protect what they have, which is, like you said, a guy who's got more miles on his legs than about any other soccer player out there.
Let's say he goes out here in this and he plays for 40 minutes in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. Boom, blows out his hammy.
Yeah.
And now you're shut down for the first 3 months of MLS season.
Right. Now, there's always a catch to this. And here's what I will say with Major League Soccer. You cannot have it both ways. You sign Lionel Messi to get your league bigger in this market.
Yep.
Does it need to grow in this market? Of course it does. Major League Soccer is not getting covered much in the general sports world of the North American sports landscape, right? It's getting better, but you're not seeing like ESPN do giant features like, oh, MLS is back. Here's our 18 minute preview on SportsCenter where we're just going through all the teams. You don't have 8 talking head shows. It's not there yet. It may never get there, but they've already decided, well, we got to go get exposure for MLS in China. China, by the way, is a huge television market for U.S. sports.
Yep.
The NBA's deal, which they quietly kind of came back to a couple years ago, is worth over $1 billion in China. Like that's probably low. They probably feel like they're getting a bargain, you know, for what they're paying to get that because they're getting exposure over there. NBA knows they can grow that market, make more. NFL wants to be in China. They all want to be over there. MLS, just because of this, has just set themselves back 5 years, if not more, with China and MLS relations. And again, we can have a discussion about how good or bad that is. China, maybe you don't like China. I totally understand that. Maybe you have a problem with their government, I'm saying, not the people, anything like that. Maybe you just have an issue with that government for some reason. All I'm saying is these sports leagues, they want to be in China. They want their products
seen. They want
more money. Yeah, they want money. And that's a place where there's a lot of money. It's believed to be a market that can be tapped. You've just now set that back by sending Messi over there, and then he doesn't play.
Yeah.
maybe.
It's not his fault. It's not his fault.
No, it's not Inter Miami's fault. What I'm saying is, maybe instead of like trying to become a worldwide brand, be a good brand in America first.
Yeah.
You know, build that up. And I'm not saying that to be like, oh, America, yeah. I'm just saying this is where you're based, and you're not.
Your bread is buttered here.
You're not denting it the same way that the NHL is. Now, maybe in TV ratings you are, but the perception is the NHL is vastly more important in the sports media landscape. People think the NHL matters more than MLS. You've got to change that. Over time, it's going to take, you know, NHL has a 100-year head start on you, but you got to change that. And I would think you'd want to focus more on that here than be worried about trying to get China to pay more attention and South America to pay more attention and Europe. Like, that'll happen naturally as the league gets better. But this is not good for MLS as far as that goes, and certainly not. Now Argentina's catching a stray out of nowhere. They're like, wait, what? We did nothing. We won a World Cup, and you want to cancel our match? And they're like,
what did we do?
Screw Messi.
We've got other guys.
What's the only reason people in China would have probably tuned in to watch MLS games?
Messi.
Right. Is that going to be more or less likely to happen now?
Less.
Right. So that's what I'm saying is this did not work out well on any level for Major League Soccer.
Until they see Darlington Nagby play, and then they're like, oh, my God.
Well, if you've seen Darlington Nagby play, you don't need Messi. You're like, I know why I'm watching.
Screw that guy.
Who needs to watch Messi when we got this
guy? That guy's
dude?
A bum. Look at this guy out
here.
Oh,
my gosh. Yeah. So, not great from MLS. And I keep forgetting, we will actually have two chances to see Messi will be here in July for the All-Star game, or whenever the All-Star game is. I presume it's June or July.
Yeah, I don't know.
Likely he'll be, you know, if he's healthy, he'll play in that. And then if he is healthy for that October game that they have, you may get to see him twice is what I'm saying. So who knows? We'll see what the ticket price is.
You
going
to go to the All-Star weekend?
I'm not paying for it.
No, I'm not either.
I might try to get a media pass or something, but I'm not. No. I mean, honestly, I don't want to deal with the headache. I don't want to deal with the headache.
I'm with you, man.
But I kind of, yeah, I want to see Messi, yeah. But no, screw that. I'm not paying.
I'm going to take William with a stroller, and we're just going to go in.
Just walk in. Be like, yeah, you're going to let this baby just sit out here? You're not going to let him in? He wants to see Messi.
The man wants to see Darlington Nagby.
He's going to be an all-star. You know that.
Of course he is.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Blue cards are in. I don't know what they are, but we'll talk about them next. Listening to Bone and Beam United. Of course, you can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United. And reminder, we will be recording now on Wednesday, so this podcast will be out a little earlier than usual. Hopefully, that's the plan.
I've got the jersey.
Oh, did it come out?
I got it.
Oh, you got it. What happened?
It got leaked.
Yes, leaks.
During our show.
Okay.
I don't know if this is real or not. I have no clue.
I'm looking. Hang on.
I've got it right in front of your face.
Oh. Oh, okay. Okay, Charlie Brown.
What's kind of a Charlie, kind is, of a Charlie
very,
Brown.
Very Charlie Brown. The Charlie Browns are in.
Now I know why Murph tweeted out a GIF of Charlie Brown yesterday.
Oh, it totally looks like the crew jerseys. See, now I got to, yeah, okay.
So not a middle crest.
No, oh, it's not. I didn't even look at that. I didn't even focus on that. Hang on. Why is mine? Elon Musk, fix your stupid website. Because I am like, all I do is tweet about the crew all the time. And then it took me this long, finally. Okay, here it is. Yeah, if this leak is accurate, so you've got... Okay, so I'm thinking what they're trying to tell us is that that little Charlie Brown wave thing, if that is accurate, I mean, that little band around the middle is definitely different. I'll give them that. That's a different look than what they've done.
It's kind of like a... kind of like a mirrored reverse flag version of like a Chevron logo.
Yeah, but because they said something that said all roads lead home. Remember that?
I don't know.
They had something, their cryptic tweet yesterday was like all roads lead home or something. Anyway.
Yeah, they're good.
Is that their way of trying to say like this is kind of supposed to be Ohio? Like that little Chevron-y thing?
Maybe.
That's a very, it's very loosely looking like Ohio if that's the case. Now, this is from Rally House.
It's like a jersey supplier. It's like a sporting good jersey supplier, like a Buckeye Corner.
They have a contract, though, to sell MLS stuff.
Okay.
I think, right?
There's one right by my house over at...
Oh, I didn't know it was like a physical location.
Yeah, there's one over at Graceland, like the Graceland like Target, like kind of over there. We have a Rally House.
Yeah.
By there.
Okay. Well, this says the authentic... I'm just looking. It does have the three stars. The two are in a row, and then the top one, the new one is on top of the first two. That it does appear, this says it's $150.
Okay.
Now, if that's the case, then what we said in the first segment, that'd be great. So, by the way, remember how we talked about sometimes we're going to record this and then stuff we say is going to be out of date? Whole first half of the podcast now out of date. We yelled about the jersey. That's good.
Well, it's funny because news never breaks during our show.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever.
No, never. Never get this.
It always breaks immediately after we get done recording. I'm on their website right now. I mean, I'm on it. It says page not found, Bone, but I mean, I'm on the Rally House website.
Oh, I'm sure they took it down.
Like, but it's still in the sub selection. Look, I mean, I'm on crew jerseys.
It's right there. Oh, no, you like, can see
it's,
it.
It's there.
Okay, so you can't, when you click on it, it doesn't let you do anything, but
correct.
It's in their jerseys. Okay, so by the time you hear this, this may all be taken down, but... Yeah, I need to see a better picture of that because it does look like, it looks like they printed it. It looks weird.
The picture looks weird.
I need to know what's going on with the picture. It does look like someone took a shot of it while it was in motion.
Yes.
Like it's not as clear as I would think a jersey usually is on this, but don't mind me. I'm just trying to tweet out a witty thing.
Tweeting during the pod.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, whatever. At least it's different.
It's fine.
Charlie Brown looking ass team. It's going to be.
I told you I wasn't going to have a positive or negative thought about it.
No, again, if that's what it is, what I'm seeing of it, I don't think it's awful. It's different. Like,
it's different.
It's not. I'm glad it's not just a basic yellow jersey for once. I like that we are the black and gold. We should embrace that there is black and gold on all of our jerseys and not just a tiny little piping of black. Actual having the black be part of the jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm good with that. If that's it, that's not bad. It does look like they're trying to work in whatever those stupid shapes are they put in the seats. Yeah. Whatever this.
The weird. Yeah.
The little design that they say is like the for Columbus. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, fine. It's not bad. It's not terrible. It does look like Charlie Brown. If you just glance at it, you will think that's a Charlie Brown shirt.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure other teams will have a field day with that, and that's fine. You deserve to do that. If we win another championship, then I don't really care what it looks like.
Doesn't matter. You got 3 stars on your chest.
I already ordered the one I'm wearing anyway, so I already got my
I already got my Camavinga jersey from Real Madrid.
Oh, look at you. Yeah.
No, I was talking about you.
Oh, no.
Modric. My bad.
Modric,
or Vinny.
Modric. Or Vinny. Yes.
But $150. That's good. Good job.
It's
not even a good job because that's still expensive. Our price is $114.99, our highest point. But $150 is better than $199.
If that's an authentic for $150, then again, this is from a Rally House. We'll wait and see when it's launched on an official MLS site what it actually retails for. But if it's $150, at least that's not. I can't believe I'm saying this. Did MLS leak fake prices to make us all set the did they Overton window
yes,
us right now?
Yeah.
Or they just slid it over. We're like, wow, $150 is a bargain.
Damn you, dong.
No, years ago we would have been screaming about $150. Damn inflation. All right. So there we go. New jersey is out. Congrats to Jenny. I hope she can not pump her gas or whatever. Isn't that what they do in New Jersey? I don't know. I do know. I've been there many a time. I have family there. Taylor pork roll. Get you some. It's delicious.
Is it a pork roll or is it a
Taylor ham
or pork roll,
either way, it's the same thing.
No, but it's not. Apparently, people get really pissed whether you say it one way or the other.
Well, because Taylor's a brand, but other brands make pork roll. But Taylor ham is the pork roll you should get because you can get it here.
I've never had it. It's at Weiland's. Like, I get it. Weiland's.
Just get one of them, and you slice it off like bologna.
And then you
fry
it. Grill it up.
Just
okay.
Literally put it on a pan and just let it come to temperature.
All right.
I mean, and just heat it up. Get it crispy. Get a little...
Salty. Okay.
And you slice. You do the little four-corner slice, the four slits around the circle. There's no corners on a circle, but do that, and it will prevent it from having the big bubble in the middle.
Okay.
And then put that on any type of breakfast bread.
Got it.
With cheese or egg or whatever you like.
In.
It's good. I want some right now. Okay. So congrats to the crew for getting a Charlie Brown jersey. Hang on, Snoopy is going to be the song. Not the song. You know what I mean?
Hey!
Blue cards are coming to soccer, apparently.
Yeah. Do you like this idea? So the idea behind the blue card, and when this news came out, it was like, oh my God, blue cards are going to be introduced. Everybody hold on to your butts. And then FIFA had to come out and be like, listen, we're going to introduce it at lower levels first.
Yes.
And that way, you know, this isn't going to be just one huge thing. But the idea behind a blue card is a cynical challenge. Like a tactical challenge that's not up to snuff to be a yellow card, right?
Right.
I think that's the way that I had kind of read that. And that the blue card would then announce that you're going to have to sit out of the game for 10 minutes. So like a sin bin, like a hockey penalty.
Yeah.
You know, or instead of, you know, a minor penalty out 2 minutes, you take a minor penalty and you're going to have to be out 10 minutes. Now, the fascinating part about this whole thing is if a goalie gets a blue card, that you can either replace the goalie with an outfield player, an active on-field outfield player for 10 minutes, or you can sub out the player, but then that player is off for the entire rest of the match.
Jeez.
So that was a fascinating thing, but I'm okay with this idea.
Are you? Here's what I've seen. So I saw our guy, Big Ange.
Okay.
Not a fan. Because
if Big Ange isn't a fan, then I'm not going to be a fan.
I'm paraphrasing, but he essentially said, so now what we're going to have is anytime this occurs, you are going to have a team for 10 minutes just playing the worst soccer you've ever seen to kill off the game till their guy can get back on, right?
And that's a good point.
He brought up that, I mean, he didn't call it out, but I'm calling that the Atletico Madrid, like,
yeah,
you're going to see that if you don't like that style or, you know, Jose Mourinho, If you don't like it when teams kind of just play for ties and play for 0-0 and just they don't really try to score, but they also aren't going to let you score and the game gets really muddled and boring. Every time someone goes into the sin bin, that was what he was saying, is you are going to see teams get the ball that are down the man, and then they are going to do everything they can to not score and not give the ball up and make it real boring. And then once they get their player back, then the game will be back to whatever it was going to be in the first place. I kind of understand where that's coming from. Now, the flip side to that, the history of the red card and yellow card. Do you know when those came into effect?
No,
because I had no idea.
No, none.
Would it surprise you to know that, like, the two men who are running for president this year in the United States of America predate the yellow and red card system?
Wow, really?
By 30 years?
Whoa.
Like, or, well, 20-something years. This did not come into effect until 1970 World Cup.
Really?
Yeah. The yellow card, red card thing was in part enacted because of a barely talked about soccer player. He's kind of inconsequential. Pele.
Okay.
There,
heard of him.
He is one of the reasons why this system was implemented. It was in part, and there's other reasons too, but one of them was Pele. If you go back and watch fouls that Pele used to suffer before red and yellow cards, it was obscene.
Brutal.
And so in the game, laws of the game, the referee was always able to just send someone off the field, say, nope, dangerous play, you're out, you're done, you're gone. They could throw you off the field. But how many times do you see that? You can throw someone out of an NFL game. You can throw someone out of an NBA game.
Yep.
You don't see it that often because in the NBA you see it more, but there's way more games, so that's why. But you don't see it often that players get thrown out of games. That was what was happening in soccer. So player like Pele comes along. No one can stop him just playing actual defense.
Two-foot challenge.
Yes. Yep. Lots of ridiculous fouls on this guy. And, of course, accumulation of fouls can lead to you getting sent off, but how often do you think they did that back in the day?
Not very.
Not a ton. So that, along with, there was a referee in the World Cup, I think in 66 or 62, whatever it was, that said he tried to send off a player from another country, and he only spoke English. This guy was from Great Britain, and the player, I don't know if he was from Italy or Spain, wherever he was, did not speak English. And so he was saying, you're out. And this player could not comprehend what he was saying because they did not speak the same language. And he's like pointing and gesturing like, get out of here. You know, and he's just like, okay, what do you want me to do? I'm not leaving. And he said that situation was something that required there to be something that didn't have to rely on language.
Okay.
Yeah. So the yellow card was a thing to signify you've now fouled in a way that has me watching you. And if you get another one of these,
there's no
discussion. Yep. You're done. And then the red card was also a way, like in that situation where he's telling a player, you're out of here. And that player's like, I don't understand what you're saying. He just holds
now
up a red card. It's like, now you see. Everybody can see. And also the fans didn't know sometimes. They would see, why is this guy leaving? Why do we not have a player now? They wouldn't even know sometimes who'd been sent off right away until they went and counted. You know, so that red card system, yellow card system only came about. It started, I mean, they tested it earlier.
Yeah.
70 World Cup, I believe, is when it was implemented. So,
and it all happened because of a language barrier.
And because of the fouling that was going on with some of the best players in the game, and it was turning the game into mush.
That's fascinating.
So it actually was meant to help keep the game going at a rate that would be more entertaining to watch. That's my concern with the blue card. Will this make the game more entertaining to watch?
I don't know if it'll... I don't know. We haven't seen it.
You're right. That's fair.
It could open it up because you may have a team that says, well, we're going to sit back for 10 minutes and be able to defend, but if we lost our best defender, like, you'd have to imagine if you're getting blue cards, it's going to be defensive midfielders, or it's going to be center backs or full-on defenders. Like, that'll be the majority of these blue cards, right? Cynical foul, cynical challenge. Like, yeah, I know that wingers throw them in sometimes and so do strikers, but for the majority, it's going to be, you know, a defender. And then, I mean, you could have a team score 1-2 goals, and then all of a sudden the other team says, all right, well, now we got to flip things on its head, and now it's going to be an open game. So, I can see what Big Ange is saying. I totally understand that. I think it would be a detriment to the growth of the game in this market in the U.S.
Yes, I think. Well, here's the argument against what Ange Postecoglou is saying, the head man at Tottenham. The argument against that is, instead of having everyone have to do this because every other game you've got two of your players getting sent off, one in the first half, one in the second half for 10 minutes at a time, why don't we just tell the players to not argue every GD call that comes across the plays? Like, maybe you just take your medicine sometimes and go, that foul sucked, whatever, and you move on.
Yep.
I think the way this could work is if you see how, like, technical fouls work in the NBA, where guy gets technical foul and it's like, all right, I don't like this ref. I don't like these calls. I got to shut up now. I can't get sent off, right? And maybe, I mean, but you still have Draymond Green in the NBA, right? So you still have Charles Barkley, Dennis Rodman. You've had guys that have gotten thrown out of games, you know, that have tempers and get really into the ref's face.
Sergio Ramos.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have that in soccer. So I wonder how long it would take. Major League Baseball changed to have the pitch clock. Why? They wanted to speed up the game.
Yep.
Everybody complained about it. What happened, like, 2 years after they implemented this? Games are shorter than they've ever been.
Way shorter.
Or they're, like, down from, like, 30 years. This is the shortest the games have been, which is what people said. And the ball's in play more. They're actually seeing, you know, guys running the bases as opposed to just everybody hitting home runs and strikeouts. It's gotten better for the game, and the adjustment happened relatively quickly. If that would happen with the blue card, where once in a, no pun intended, blue moon, you see someone getting a 10-minute sin bin, that wouldn't be so bad. But what's going to happen, no doubt, is
that you'll have multiple blue cards per game.
Yeah. And at least to start. And as people have their eyes on this, that perception is going to be, it was in the 70s, you didn't have social media.
Yeah.
When they introduced red card, yellow card, I'm quite sure that would have been a dumpster. It probably was a dumpster fire. I didn't live through it. Yeah. But can you imagine if that's on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere, where, like, people are just like, can you believe this guy got yellow carded? Can you believe this guy got red carded?
What was a yellow card?
It may not even have survived.
Yeah.
You know, and I wonder if you can introduce something like that to soccer, something that's central to gameplay in a game like soccer, in this environment where soccer sells you on tradition, simplicity, very easy to understand. Now you're adding complexity and a new thing to a otherwise traditional, simple sport.
Well, and I think we're also in the VAR era now, and we don't know what offside is, and we don't know what the rules are, and we don't know, well, should that be a red, and can we go back and look at this? And now we're adding another layer of complexity to it on the refs who already have. I wouldn't want to be a soccer referee right now. I mean, I'm not envious of any of those guys having to make calls and decisions. And, you know, we applaud when there's a really well-reffed game. And, of course, we denounce it and we throw people under the bus when it's a poorly reffed game. And I think this only leads to more criticism. Again, inherently, I like the idea. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
But now talking through it, like the implementation of said idea, I can see where there would be some major pitfalls.
Yeah. So I think the biggest question is if they do this, to your point, perception is reality. You brought up, you know, what's this going to look like for fans in the U.S., right? Will this help grow the game here? And again, that's not FIFA's concern is about making the game better all over. I get that.
Yep.
But you go watch the World Cup in 2 years. If this is implemented by then, you're telling me that one of the biggest audiences you've ever had for a World Cup, being that it's back in the U.S., you are going to see a lot of people going, what the hell is a blue card? Why? Like, we will have all worked through it. Those of us who watch soccer all the time will be used to it.
Those of us who know how to navigate Peacock.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then what's going to happen is, yet again, you're going to have, you're like instantly creating some gatekeeping situations.
Yeah.
Where then soccer fans who watch it are going to be like, well, a blue card is technically like, you know, the penalty box in hockey.
Yeah.
And that's just going to be a new layer that, going to get fans to go, why do I watch this crap? It's stupid. Sorry, I got something stuck in my throat.
You all right over there? You okay? I mean, it was a bad situation that you just found yourself in.
I like exhaled and a piece of something, phlegm, I hope, I don't know, came up from my lungs and was like, I'm going to attach right on the back of your vocal cord.
That's always a bad feeling. That happened to me one time during a SportsCenter update live on the air.
Never heard that. Shut up.
Yes, you probably heard it a million times. It's on Tim's dad display, and I think it's on Common Man's, too.
Yeah, that one I know. It lives in infamy.
Hey, it's live radio.
Let's talk real quick. Champions League, Premier League, not to, like, diminish those two, but Premier League's gotten really nice here.
Good job, Aston Villa, over the weekend.
I know. Sorry to disappoint as an Aston Villa fan now. I'm glad for you. Your team had no problems, but my team did.
That's because we beat you.
I know. I'm saying it sucked because it was not good. And I don't really have a defense for it.
That race for the top four is getting really nice.
So, if you've missed it, here are the standings as of right now. Liverpool sits on 54 points.
They also had a disaster against Arsenal when we missed our podcast.
That's right.
Week.
Yes. They're on 24 games played. City has a game in hand. They are only 2 points back, 52 points. Arsenal
right
at the
there,
24
man.
Games played, but they're at 52 points. Arsenal's back. Yeah, they're right in striking distance.
And they just beat the ever-living hell out of West Ham this weekend.
Yeah.
6-0.
Yeah.
Like, just beat the hell
drilled
out of them.
Yeah. And that's a – yes. I saw the fire drill tweets and posts from people showing, like, yeah, West – because that was at West Ham,
yeah.
right? That was, or,
yeah.
you know, in their stadium in London, right?
Yep.
Tottenham at 47 points, Villa at 46, Manchester United sitting in sixth place at 41. I mean, all those teams right there, still plenty of to play for Champions League positioning
that's,
there.
I mean, it's as low as you're going to get a sixth. Like, I have a hard time envisioning Newcastle and West Ham and Brighton,
oof.
Like, lobbing themselves up into, unless they do something crazy, like getting into top four contention. And even United 5 points back, I'm like, that's
tough.
A lot
but
to overcome.
It's not over yet for them to get into Champions League.
It was a big win against Villa this weekend
that helped
to get
them
to
out
five
tremendously,
points.
Yeah, of course. Newcastle, by the way, falling off significantly.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
that is not good for them since basically the new year. That has not been okay. Champions League discussion. Where do you want to go there?
Well, City had a nice win over Copenhagen.
We talked about that.
I'm like, it's going to be 3-1. As soon as Copenhagen scored, I'm like, it's going to be a 3-1 final for
yeah.
City. And they won 3-1. And then Real Madrid with a nice victory yesterday. Today you get Bayern. I don't remember who Bayern's playing off the top of my head, but then
doesn't
I know,
matter. They're winning. They're winning. They're Bayern. They're winning this
for
match.
The first time ever. Now we can talk about the curse of Harry Kane next year. But for the first time ever, they're playing Lazio today, by the way. On the
okay,
road.
Lazio.
So by the time that you hear this game will have already been played.
I know.
For the first time, like, in their history of a club, like, they're in position to not win any trophies.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
We're thinking, like, well, maybe the curse, the Harry Kane curse, has moved from Spurs now to Bayern.
Mm, it's a reasonable discussion to have, but we got to find out if this actually happens. If they win no trophies,
right,
then we're actually going to have something to talk about. But it's surprising because they are usually so good, and they have typically been good. But this year, that Bundesliga, super
well, Leverkusen
competitive.
Just beat the shit out of them this past weekend.
Yeah, they did. Dude. Leverkusen is playing, man.
And I know
they're
that
good.
Their fans are pumped, and Liverpool fans are pumped, too. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Jobby.
They're like, yeah, this is German
their
Liverpool
guy.
Right now. We're just waiting
right.
for that all to happen.
We just beat Bayern at home?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, they got their guy in waiting, just kind of watching him. Now, that'd be nice for Liverpool fans. Just be like, yeah, that's our other team. We're just watching them dominate over there, knowing that that coach probably going to come here and coach our team. That's great.
Got to be great. Not
would
really.
Be nice, right?
Nah, it would not be great.
I heard you. You really like Liverpool. I know what you're saying.
I
Manchester
like
United
the
fan.
Problem is I like Xabi Alonso a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like him, and I like Jurgen Klopp, and mm-hmm. I like Liverpool's team. I just can't like them.
I get it. It's a quandary, my friend. It's too bad for you. I feel awful that's going to happen to you. Because
yeah.
no, I don't. It's good.
I've had enough.
I know you have.
I've
I
had
know.
Enough.
All right. We will see you next week. Thank you for listening. Thanks for adjusting the new date. Enjoy the Charlie Brown kits.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, Bone.
Oh, yeah. Happy Valentine's Day. We didn't even mention Valentine's Day. We're recording on Valentine's Day. Much
this
like,
was my date. This was my. Thank you for being my date
yeah,
for the day.
Well, much like in our household, I completely forgot about it until just now. So, good job.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I'll have to go get whatever leftover dregs of flowers they have left over. I'll just go grab those for a buck on the way home. Like, here you go, honey. I'm sorry I'm stupid.
Those are for your wife. You need to be better about that.
Yeah, I know. I got a well. I gave her children. Is that not count?
There was a, wasn't there a story about?
Oh yeah. About
don't,
my, yes.
don't say it. But that's
no.
that's what my reference was to.
I did have yeah. I had a that was for my mom for Mother's Day.
Okay.
Where I had a someone stopped because I got flowers the day of and was like, why aren't you better about this? Get your mom. She suffered and toiled. And I said, oh, these aren't for my mom. These are for a hooker. The woman just.
That's one of my all-time
favorites. This
random
woman came up to me in the store and was like, how dare you get your mom flowers on the day? You should have got those well in advance. And I'm like, well, they're not for my mom. She's dead. I got them for a hooker. And she just could not believe. And I was. They were actually for my mom. And 100% that lady was right. And I just made her day. I hope she still feels miserable about it because don't come up to me in a store and talk to me about my purchase. Don't judge me for my 8 boxes of Captain Crunch, lady. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm dealing with. All right. We will see you guys next week. Hope you have a great Valentine's Day and enjoy all the soccer. We'll talk again. See you then.